You are not going to be crying. You will be praying, but in addition to that, you will be always ready to follow the Lord's command. And the Lord's command is, go forward. You know, I like to compare passages in different versions. I was looking at the New International Version, and it says, tell the Israelites to move on. Don't you like that? Tell the Israelites to what? Move on. Then I saw another translation that I love very much, and this one is the New Living Translation. Tell the people to get going. Seventh-day Adventists don't mark time. We go forward. I read a fascinating book some time ago by an author who was describing the works of David Livingstone, and he quoted the following statement, and he said, Livingstone always said, I will go anywhere God wants me to go as long as it is forward. Forward. And brothers and sisters, living as we are in these last days, there is no direction to go but forward. And the good news is, as I will share with you this morning, we are not going forward alone because God is with us. And he says, I'll be with you to the end of the age. This morning, I'd like us to examine three perils to going forward. Just three. And the first one is what I call the spiritual, the peril of spiritual status quo. What do I mean by that? The status quo is incompatible with empowered, forward-going living. It is a state of spiritual inertia. It is a state of living in the comfort zone of Laodicean apathy. It is a condition of contentment with minimal growth. It is membership without discipleship. It is fellowship without stewardship. It is profession without confession. The status quo. And God forbid that any of us in this great conference should be found in this category. We are to go forward. We cannot tolerate the status quo. You see, the status quo keeps us in one place. We don't grow. We don't expand. We don't broaden our vision and our horizons. But God has given us such a message. We have such a glorious destiny that we are bidden by him to go forward and never allow ourselves to mark time. I was in the Dominican Republic some time back to conduct a week of prayer at the Dominican Adventist University. And at the end of that week of prayer, we had a marvelous time, of course. At the end of it, the young people wanted to give me a present. And lo and behold, they came with two large boxes. And they contained two rocking chairs. Made of pure Dominican mahogany. Oh, the aroma was so great. Well, I wondered how I was going to get that all the way to Miami. Anyway, I got them home, and we assembled them, and then my wife and I decided to test them. So we sat in those chairs, and we rocked and rocked and rocked until we fell asleep. After several minutes, my wife woke up and said, George, why are we doing this? You know, we have so much to do, and here we are rocking ourselves to sleep. And you know, when that happened, it occurred to me as a preacher that this is a good illustration. Here we were, very busy, but getting nowhere. That's what I call the rocking chair syndrome. And the rocking chair syndrome illustrates the question of the status quo. We are very busy, seminars and all kinds of activities, but we're not growing. May the Lord help us this morning to go forward. What do you say? Amen. Here are some dynamic alternatives to the status quo. I like what Isaiah said. They that wait on the Lord shall what? Renew their strength. I like what follows. They shall what? Mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Thank God, the Holy Spirit empowers us to go forward day by day, so there is no need for us to engage in the tragedy of the status quo. Let us go forward. I like what Peter said, that the word, he says, we are to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, some of you may have been in this wonderful message for 50 years, 60 years, 25, I don't know how long. But the question is, how much have you grown? Are we moving forward knowing more of God's will, understanding more profoundly His purpose for our lives? Are we growing more in grace, more in knowledge, more in an understanding of His will and purpose for our lives? Let us grow on and go on until Jesus comes. It is interesting that in this growing experience, worship is a lifestyle for us. Amen? A lifestyle. Worship is a pleasure. I feel so happy to be here this morning. Worship is a pleasure. That's why we are called to worship God and give glory to Him from day to day. Worship is a pleasure. Discipleship is a joy. And witnessing for our message is a spontaneous experience. Spontaneous. We are going forward, but we are not going to go forward without taking somebody with us. Share the good news. Tell others of what Christ has done for you. Let them see and understand and feel and comprehend and embrace the experience that has transformed your life. Let us go forward. I was in Montego Bay, beautiful Jamaica. Any Jamaicans here? Yes. And was there to conduct some meetings there in the church. And I was up in the hotel, looked down, and I saw a lady sitting by the roadside with a huge tray filled with the most succulent fruits, bananas and, oh, I tell you, all the tropical fruits. And they were looking so delicious and appetizing that I decided to have some for supper. So I went down and asked the lady about the fruits and the mangoes, the bananas, and so forth. And while talking to her, I noticed she had a little thing in her hand, and I recognized it to be a copy of a Sabbath School quarterly. So I said to the lady, facetiously, ma'am, what are you reading? And she said to me, oh, sir, I am a Seventh-day Adventist. What a voluntary announcement, isn't it? I'm a Seventh-day Adventist, and then she began to tell me how she became a Seventh-day Adventist Christian. And after that, she started to give me a Bible study. And in that Bible study, she covered about everything, including the state of the dead. And then she said, you know, sir, tonight there is at the church in Montego Bay a special service. And it's going to be conducted by a pastor of ours from Miami. His name is George W. Brown. So I'm inviting you to come and listen to the message. Oh, she was so filled with passion, spontaneously sharing what God had given to her. So I bought the fruits, and having bought them, I said, well, I'll see you tonight. And she said, sir, I'll be at the front door. And I will escort you to your seat. Well, I thought that at that juncture I should divulge who I was. So I told her who I was. I'm George W. Brown. And she looked at me and said, oh my, I thought I'd won another soul for the Lord. Now, that's what you call avoiding the status quo. spontaneous witnessing for Jesus Christ. And I urge you this morning, my brothers and sisters, as you go back to your respective churches, go back with the determination that by the grace of God, I will go forward. The second peril that we must guard against, I call it spiritual detours. Spiritual detours. And the devil is busy 24/7 throwing in front of us detours. What are these detours? Let me suggest that detours do three things. Number one, they plant seeds of skepticism and doubt in your minds concerning the uniqueness of the message that God has given to us. Number two, they distract from our fulfilling our God-given mission. And number three, they divert us from pursuing our prophetic destiny in our journey to the promised land. Therefore, avoid them. You know, I'm terrified when I am traveling on the road and I see a sign that says detours. I was invited to speak at a camp meeting in Wenatchee some years ago. And when it was a very rainy day and I got to a certain junction, there I saw a huge sign, detour. Well, I followed the instructions, but I found myself lost. And I was late already for the meeting. I went in circles. Well, eventually got to a gas station, and they gave me some instructions. By the way, in those days, we didn't have the GPS. But I got there in time. But that stuck in my mind. Detours. And I wonder, what are some detours we must guard against? Doctrinal detours. Carnal security. Secularism. Majoring in minors. By the way, do we do that sometimes? Brothers and sisters, we are living in the end of time and we don't have time to major in minors. We major in majors. And our duty is to go forward telling others of the glorious promise of the soon return of Jesus Christ and what that promise has done for us. So go forward. Don't go in detours. There is theological detours. There is secularism. There is incipient worldliness. There is unbelief. And by the way, whenever you're tempted to go on a detour, remember Kadesh Barnea. They went on a detour 40 long years, and they never reached the promised land. They were only a stone's throw away from the promised land when they went on the detour. And I challenge you this morning, my beloved brothers and sisters, let us go forward. No detours, because God is not with us when we go on detours. Stay on the king's highway. I like the words of Joshua. Be strong. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Go forward. Majoring in minors. We were having a potluck, and by the way, Adventists are masters at that. And we were having a beautiful potluck. All the folk were enjoying it. But there was one little old lady, bless her heart, she walked around and examined every dish to see whether there was cheese in it or eggs or anything of the kind. And then she'd warn the others, don't eat that dish, don't eat this one because it has eggs or in it. Majoring in minors. Let us go forward in faith and remember what Christ has done for us. And when he transforms us, we have no time to major in minors or get on theological tangents. Stay focused on Jesus Christ, the guide. What do you say? Stay focused. Follow him. He knows the way, and he will lead you on to glory. I was in Mexico a while back for a speaking engagement, and I was at a hotel. A young man came, picked me up to take me to the venue, and we traveled and traveled and traveled. And after a while, I said to him, you know, I have seen those buildings 6 times already. Well, then he looked at me and said, you know, Pastor, I'm sorry, but I'm lost. I had a guide taking me to the venue. But the guide didn't know the way. But the good news I have here this morning is that our guide in our journey to the promised land knows the way. And he not only knows the way, he is the way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Thank God for our guide, isn't it? And so my plea for this morning is, let's follow the guide. And if we follow him, we will have absolutely nothing to fear. Let me quote a well-known quotation from the pen of inspiration. We quote it so often, but it can be quoted again today. It's so relevant. We have, you can finish it, can't you? Nothing to what? Fear for the future. There, and then there's a little tricky word there. Except what? We forget. Brothers and sisters, let's not forget. Remember where we have come from. Remember what God has done for us. Remember how he has led us all the way. And that God who led us thus far will lead us on to glory. Therefore, let us follow the guide. This brings me to the third peril we must avoid. The first one, we avoid the peril of the status quo. The second, we avoid the status of peril of what? Detours. And the third is the most dangerous of all. The peril of spiritual regression. This is the deadliest peril. The first one creates apathy. The second one, loss of direction. But this one, a state of lostness. And ever any time you're tempted to go back or to look back, remember Mrs. Lot. Eh? Let us go forward. Every once in a while I come across somebody who look back. And when we look back, the temptation to go back is very strong. Therefore, look to Jesus. Amen? Keep our eyes fixed on him, because in him there is hope and victory. We are not, this is what the Apostle Paul says in Hebrews 10:39, we are not of those who draw back, but of those who believe and are saved. Notice those two words. Those who what? Believe and are saved. Believe. What do we believe? We keep looking forward to Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith. We believe the fundamentals of this church. But these fundamentals are all around the core of truth. And that core is Jesus Christ himself. Let's look to him. What do you say? Keep looking to him. Don't look to the preacher. Don't look to the local elder. Don't look at the deacon. Don't look at anybody. We all have feet of clay. And if I weren't in the presence of the conference president, I would say, don't look at him either. Wonderful man of God. But all of us have what? Feet of clay. Let us look to Jesus. And as we look to him, victory is guaranteed. Have you heard that? Victory is what? Guaranteed. And you know, when we look to Jesus Christ, defeat is impossible. And victory is inevitable. Hallelujah. Little old man in Texas sat every lunchtime on a bench under a tree on the campus of a seminary reading his Bible. And one day one of the professors came along and said, I see you reading something every day here. What are you reading? And the old man, rather than saying, I'm reading my Bible, he says, I'm reading the book of Revelation. So the professor said to him, well, Revelation? Do you understand Revelation? Can a janitor understand Revelation? Complicated as it is. And the old man smiled and he said, you know, sir, there are a lot of things in it I don't understand, but there's one thing that I know. Jesus is going to win. Amen. Come on now. Jesus is what? Going to win. I'll just correct a little bit his theology. Jesus is not going to win. He has one. And if I weren't in an Adventist audience, I would shout hallelujah. Jesus has already won the victory. And because he has won, we too can win. I like what the Apostle Paul says, that we are victorious in Jesus Christ. Because as we follow him, there is victory. Amen? When we look to him, we see Jesus alone. We see power. We see victory. So when we look back, there is no security, right? There is no victory, no spiritual adventure, no growth in Christ, no homecoming anticipation. By the way, that's a whole sermon there. Homecoming anticipation. I live every day for the homecoming. What a day that's going to be. I said, what a day that's going to be. A day of victory, a day of joy, a day of rejoicing. A long time ago, Rome invaded Britain. It was a very sad occasion. But when they landed in Britain, the shores of Britain, the commanding officer turned to his men and said to them, "Burn all the ships that we have traveled by to invade England. Burn them." And a young sailor couldn't understand that. So he turned to the commanding officer and asked this question, "Sir, if we do that, in the event of a retreat, what shall we do?" And the answer was prompt. "There shall be no retreat." Amen? There shall be no retreat. Brothers and sisters, we cannot go back because there is nothing to go back for. Let us go forward. Forward in faith, forward to the promised land. And as I wrap up this message this morning, I want to share with you quickly Moses' valedictory message to Joshua. The Lord himself will go before you. Don't you like that? God himself is with us. And I have good news for you. That same God that led Israel into the promised land is leading us today. He himself. Then he continues to amplify this and he says, "He will be with you. He will never leave you or forsake you." That's deserving an amen, isn't it? In that one verse, I see three things. Number one, divine leadership. None of us as humans can lead this church. Have you heard it? Only God can. We are instruments in his hands to do certain functions. But in the final analysis, God himself leads us to victory. Let's follow him, shall we? The second thing I see in this verse is divine companionship. And the third, divine security. Isn't that wonderful? Divine leadership, he's leading us all the way from grace to glory. Divine companionship, he's our friend. Thank God that Jesus is our friend. Thank God that when all friends forsake you, he is there to lead us all the way. And finally, divine security. We are secure in him. What a blessed privilege. My. And here is something I want to share with you. In scarcity and in abundance, in pain or in pleasure, in tragedy or in triumph, in tranquility or in tempest, in flood or in fire, God says, "I will be with you to the end of the world. Therefore, go forward." Let me close by indulging you in a vision. John the Divine, the great revelator, in chapter 7 and verse 9 of the book of Revelation, paints a vivid, heartwarming, encouraging picture. And he sees there one day one day. He sees all of God's redeemed people who have been going forward in faith with Christ. He sees them gathered around the throne of God. I want you to use your imagination now. And he says there that present there are people from where? Every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. They came from everywhere. From Jakarta to Jamaica. From Afghanistan to America. From Bombay to Barbados. And they came from everywhere, of every face and every place and every status. There were the upper class, the middle class, the lower class, and the classless. All saved in the kingdom of God. Amen. Come on, brothers and sisters, you know what that's going to be? And then that group began to sing a song. The song of Moses and the song of the Lamb. The song of the redeemed. I want to be there. Amen. I said I want to be there. And I plan to be there by the grace of God. And by His enabling grace, I will be there. Amen. What do you say? Amen. What a day that will be. Singing the song of victory. Victory at last. Home at last. No more pain. No more hospitalization. And I talk from experience now. No more surgeries. No more gray hairs. No more pain. No more sorrow. No more death. I have a whole series on that word, those words. No more. What a day that will be. We must be there by the grace of God. But we can only get there by following our guide. Let us go forward in faith. And by the way, you know, the description given there, that great massive throng of men and women from every place and face and race. Something beautifully said about them, that they had palm branches in their hands and they were dressed in white. You know what that means? Dressed in white is to be robed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Palm branches represent two things, victory and felicity. A happy people, a victorious people, and the holy people. How many of you this morning will say, by the grace of God, Pastor Brown, I want to rededicate my life to God this morning. I want to say, Lord, take me just as I am and lead me on to the promised land, and I will go forward, always forward by your command. How many would like to say that? Well, look at that. Father in heaven, in the beauty and quietude of this lovely Sabbath morning, your sons and daughters in this place have pledged that by your grace, they will follow you all the way from grace to glory. Bless each of us today, Lord. Fill us with your peace, your love, and your grace, and prepare us for that glorious homecoming day when we shall all be present to see you face to face. Until then, Lord, keep us faithful, for we ask it in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ, our Master, our Savior, our Advocate, and our Friend. Amen.